Andrew Cuomo gets accused of sexual harassment. Cori Bush defends having her own private security detail. And the CDC is now trying to legislate law. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. The William Hall Show is brought to you by the Second Amendment Jerky Company. This is a simple product that I really like. Fantastic beef jerky, and a portion of every purchase goes to supporting your right to bear arms. The Second Amendment is in more danger now, perhaps, than ever in history. There are a ton of great ways to support the Second Amendment, but the most delicious way is to buy beef jerky from the Second Amendment Jerky Company. Plus, all orders ship free from 2ajerky.com. That is 2ajerky.com to support the Second. Eat delicious beef jerky, and of course, help support the William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So to start things off, Andrew Cuomo. Many of you that have actually been following this for a while have known that he's actually received a lot of these sexual harassment charges against him already. Now, this isn't really specifically anything new, but what is new is that the Attorney General of New York has now confirmed everything. They have documented it. They have gone through every testimony, all of the details. We now have the evidence. So basically, like I said, this is the Attorney General now from her, Letitia James. And she has concluded that the New York governor has sexually harassed multiple subordinates, and that they also go on talking about the fact that after these women came out to complain about their grievances or to air their grievances in some way, that Andrew Cuomo also created a toxic work environment by kind of attacking them and being rude in behavior towards them. So this is a new report as far as them collecting all of the data. There's a lot in there that is just very extensive of these different employees talking about his behavior towards them. So this independent investigation has concluded that Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women. And this is from, like I said, the AG adding in there as well. And it said that they, quote, engaged in unwanted, inappropriate groping, kissing, hugging, and comments that accusers call deeply humiliating, uncomfortable, offensive, and inappropriate. So this is, once again, this is all Andrew Cuomo doing these types of things, having this type of behavior. And it obviously is unacceptable regardless, because really the key here is how everyone reacts to this. So the report goes on showing that they interviewed 179 individuals who came into contact with Andrew Cuomo between the years 2013 and 2020, which is a lot of people, and around 70,000 pieces of evidence. The investigation, she added, painted a deeply disturbing yet clear picture of systemic problems in Cuomo's office. Cuomo previously also denied these allegations as well, which shouldn't come as any shock to anybody, because that's typically what people do when they're kind of caught in hot water. But here's the thing. Where are the Democrats right now? Now, this is kind of interesting. Normally, they're actually fairly silent on this. And don't get me wrong here. Some of the Democrats are entirely silent on this. But you actually had several that came out and said, hey, what's going on? Like, maybe this guy should resign. So this is something that a lot of the Democrats, I think, are starting to kind of be forced to take note of, especially now that the Attorney General has kind of brought some validity to these allegations at this point. Obviously, these aren't specific charges necessarily, but when you have this amount of evidence here, it does paint a very clear picture of, okay, what do we do now? How does the Democrat Party react when one of their own, one of their most protected people, is now doing what they're doing? Now, by the way, literally the day after this information came out about the AG talking about this, the state of New York, or Cuomo, basically said, hey, look, guys, we're going to mandate masks and vaccines. Hey, we're going to mandate stuff again. Why is he doing this? He's doing this to distract from what's happening here. And everything in the media is basically a distraction from what's really taking place. Andrew Cuomo, the same person that is responsible for upwards of around 15,000 nursing home deaths because of bad policy, and then also in this particular situation with the sexual harassment. Now, once again, like I said, these are allegations we have to wait for. Maybe, you know, they're bringing these to court, see exactly what takes place at that point. But this is the Democrat Party that's telling everybody to believe all women. I mean, that's what they were talking about during Me Too, is believe all women. If a woman comes up and says something about this, they must be telling the truth. Unless it's against a Democrat. That's the way they've treated Tara Reid, for example, when she talked about different behaviors of Biden as well. Not to mention all of Biden's other stuff with other young kids and whatnot. But Cuomo's a protected person in the Democrat Party. But some Democrats are actually speaking out against him. So, for example, you actually had Biden call for him to resign. And he was asked about it multiple times, and he said this. So Biden told reporters during a press conference that he stood by his former statement that Cuomo should step down if the investigation into his alleged sexual misconduct found his accusers his accusers credible. And like I said, according to the Democrat standard, all women are credible. So what is he going to do? Now, of course, you had Cuomo basically, he's going to deny everything. He's denied this the entire time. Why would he say that these things happen? We don't expect any other response about that. But once again, this is about Cuomo being somebody that is lauded as the best governor ever. They would love for this to be Ron DeSantis. And make no mistake, if it was Ron DeSantis, you wouldn't hear the end of this story. It would be going on all day for months. You'd have every single Democrat in Congress talking about it. Everybody would be talking about it. It would be all over the news. Incredible, incredible reporting that they would be doing on that if it was a Republican. But in the situation with Cuomo, all of a sudden it's covered up. All of a sudden it's hard to really find the information about all of this. And even the Attorney General seemed like it pained her to really say, yeah, maybe these women are fairly credible in what they're talking about here. So we'll see where this goes. I'm very, very curious to see exactly what happens. Will anything happen with him? Will it not? My sneaking suspicion is that nothing's going to happen to Cuomo. Because like I said, even if Biden himself calls for him to be resigned, he's going to deny it, and nobody's going to force him out. Because once again, they can't make themselves look bad in all of this, ultimately, even if there are Democrats that are willing to call him out plainly and clearly in front of everybody, in front of the world. So we'll see where this goes. I'll definitely be keeping you updated on that as well. So as many of you know, the Olympics are going on right now, and I've covered a little bit of it, although I haven't been watching much of the Olympics, because who really wants to be watching the Olympics at this point when a lot of the events have just gotten so woke? You have transgender athletes competing in a lot of these. It just really isn't a good look, and I really don't care for it at all. But we saw a big difference when we saw Megan Rapinoe, a part of the women's soccer team. She was one of the ones that was coming out there and was kneeling for the flag or basically ignoring the national anthem or turning the other way. Several on her team were doing the same exact thing. And of course, they didn't even wind up getting through in the end. But here's this girl that also happens to be black as well. Her name's Minsa Stock. And I want you to see the difference between her winning a medal in the Olympics versus all of the other reactions of other people. Check this out.
Of course I surprised myself. It's by the grace of God I'm able to even move my feet. Like, I just leave it in his hands, and I pray that all the practice, that the hell that my freaking coach has put me through, pays off. And every single time it does, and I get better and better. And it's so weird that there is no cap to the limit that I can do. And I'm excited to see what I have next.
Last question for you. That American flag around your shoulders looks pretty good. How does that feel to represent your country like this?
It feels amazing. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it, and I'm so happy I get to represent USA! Love it.
Well said. Congratulations. Enjoy that gold, and we'll see you out there on the podium, okay?
Thank you. I'll try not to cry, but no promises.
First of all, this is the woman that you want girls, young girls that are in sports or whatever they're in, to be looking up to. Let's be very clear about that. This isn't just a patriotic person, because that's one great thing, obviously, by itself. This is a very, very, very Christian person that is putting their faith out there, putting God out there, making it known that it is by God's abilities and blessings that I'm able to do what I'm doing right now. And if it wasn't that way, then I wouldn't be here today. And it's a thankfulness that transcends beyond anything that we've seen from these other athletes that have been nothing but ungrateful, nothing but hateful towards this country and everything else. think about this. Now, she won the gold medal. She won. Okay, she won the actual gold medal. But if you take a look at Gwen Berry, remember her? The lady that was supposed to be doing the toss, and she basically got third place and wound up actually after they did the full placements, she got second to last. Out of 12 contestants or competitors, she was number 11. So she wasn't even close to be winning or anything at all. And she even said, hey, if I win a medal, I'm going to get up on that stand, and I'm basically going to use it as an opportunity to basically virtue signal about racial justice and all the rest of the stuff about how the United States is horrible. That's basically what she was going to do. So notice what you're seeing here. You see the women's team that lost. You see Gwen Berry that lost. But this lady, the only one out of that bunch that actually is a staunch Christian, talks about God, thanking Jesus for this, and also a patriot that loves this country, that knows and realizes how blessed they are to be in this country, to get up there and to be so excited about this, they win the gold. I don't know about you, but it looks to me like maybe being a Christian person that appreciates and understands the blessings that they have caused her to be able to do better in these competitions than these other people that have been nothing but resentful, that are godless, lesbians, and just everything else. I mean, you see the difference. You clearly see the difference between these two things. And it couldn't be more different. It really couldn't. And all I can really say is that I hope that she doesn't get canceled for this, because she deserves to be propped up more than anybody else in the Olympics. I haven't talked much about the story, for example, with the lady that was doing the, I think it was the gymnastics. I forgot her name right off the top of my head, but it was this black girl that did the gymnastics, and she basically decided to pull out of the competition due to mental health issues or something along those lines. And I didn't comment much on this because, to be honest with you, once again, I really don't care much about the Olympics at all. But what was very interesting is that you have the society basically saying, hey, look, let's put all of the focus on the player, on the quitters and on the people that hate America. Let's put all of that focus on them. But we're going to ignore the people that actually, had to go through the mental rigors of competition and actually made it out of the end with a gold medal. Those people get ignored. But once again, we're a society that is propping up mental issues and thinking that for some reason, that we need to put these people on a pedestal somehow, and that they're going to be better for it, or that our society will be better for it. Nobody should be applauding athletes that quit based off of the fact that they just can't handle the competition or whatever it is, no matter how many excuses that they want to give for it. And it's people like this lady here that I showed you a clip of, that really makes the biggest difference. If you're watching also on or listening on audio, what you're seeing is her wrapping herself in the flag. I mean, she clearly loves this country. She's excited about being there. So once again, just a big, big difference between her and the other athletes we've seen competing in the Olympics as well. So the CDC has announced that they are going to extend the eviction moratorium. Now, I reported on this just in the last episode and was talking about the idea that the way that the Democrats have been approaching this issue is that they messed it up. They entirely left it. They weren't thinking about it or whatever happened, but they only have themselves to blame because of this. But now you have the CDC that's stepped in somehow and said, you know what? No, that's, I don't care what the Democrats did. We're going to now put this in place where you can't evict people. Now, in case you're wondering, how does the CDC possibly have the authority to do that? Well, the answer is they don't, okay? The CDC is not a legislation branch. They don't do any of that stuff. But for some reason, they're just taking that upon themselves to go ahead and just put this into place. So this moratorium is, and this is basically a statement from the lady that works for the CDC talking about this, but she said, this moratorium is the right thing to do to keep people in their homes and out of settings where COVID-19 spreads. Such mass evictions and attendant public health consequences would be very difficult to reverse. This order will expire on October 3rd, 2021, and applies in United States counties experiencing substantial and high levels of community transmission levels of COVID-19. And she went on to say that it allows additional time for rent relief to reach renters and to further increase vaccination rates. Now, the thing that we need to be looking at when we're kind of dissecting what she's talking about here is where she's saying, okay, well, you know, this is supposed to be about these people being in a place where they're not as likely to get COVID-19, so we need to make sure these people stay in their homes. Now, one of the things that I actually was asking and raising the questions of a few months ago was about the homeless population, right? I mean, those people aren't getting put into housing for free, by the way, okay? That hasn't changed. So the homeless people are still homeless. Where are they at in all of this? And nobody has ever studied or talked about their transmission whatsoever. These people that have no access to homes, somehow we still have homeless. Somehow they're not all dead. So something must be happening. I would imagine something's taking place. So it's just a real difference that you're seeing here with these situations. Now, the thing is that, like I said, the CDC does not legislate. It doesn't really matter what they're saying in these statements because they cannot legislate. But here's the deal. Here's why they know that they can make these statements, and I posted about this online as well. They know that the Biden administration is going to do whatever it is that they tell them to do. They're not going to stop them. Because under Trump, the CDC knew better. Like, hey, we're not going to mess with this guy. You know, he's going to keep us in check. But the Biden administration already does every single thing the CDC recommends. Every week, when the CDC inevitably changes their mask data, their vaccine data, their transmission data, just everything, every single time it changes, the Biden administration just goes right along with that. So honestly, this to me is just another situation where the CDC says, hey, look, we know that a Biden administration is going to go right along with us in this situation, so we're just going to tell people what they can and cannot do. By the way, in case you're wondering about this, because a lot of times this seems like good faith. It seems like a good idea to have this eviction moratorium in place. And I kind of touched on a bit of why it's not great in the last episode. But here's what they're charging people, by the way, that are deciding to evict anyways. Okay, so there's a potential $100,000 fine and 1 year in jail if you evict somebody. And oh, by the way, there's a $250 fine and a year in jail if you evict somebody and then that person then dies following the eviction, presumably from COVID or something else. So you as a landlord, as somebody that just owns property, are now liable for somebody's life after they leave your apartment if you evict them because they're not paying you rent, which means, by the way, you're not making any money. Newsflash. Now, for some reason, once again, what we haven't seen from the government is something saying, hey, we're going to pay these landlords to be able to deal with the fact that they've got tenants that are probably not going to want to pay rent. But that's not what we've seen. The government has no interest in helping landlords out. They're only interested in helping out the people that are refusing to pay their rent. And of course, I'm assuming there's people that probably just aren't paying their rent just for nefarious reasons. They just don't want to pay it. Maybe there is no specific reason as to why that's taking place. They just don't want to do it. So maybe that's a portion of it. I'm not entirely sure, but either way, nobody's watching out for landlords. They have a job too. Like, they need to be able to make money. They need to be able to have this property and with the upkeep and be able to have a living themselves as well. Not all of them are rich or something. You know, some of them are not making all that much money, but yet nobody in government cares about them. Nobody in government cares to see if they're doing well or to help them out in this process. It's just, no, we're just going to keep you from being able to evict someone else because they're not paying you and doing what they agreed to do in their contract. And we're going to force them to then, or force you to deal with it. And if you don't want to deal with it, we're going to charge you $100,000. We might throw you in jail for it. That doesn't sound very fair to me. Not at all. Today's show is also sponsored by Gab user Christian Resurgence. He wants to ask you, are you really born again or are you a Christian in name only? Are you trusting in Christ? The Bible says to examine yourself and see if you are in the faith. Do you seek to do all things to the glory of God or are you living for someone or for yourself and occasionally making mention of the name Jesus? Are you comparing yourself to Christ or to others who claim to be Christians even though they live contrary to the teachings of Jesus? Scripture says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Since you've professed Christ, have your thoughts and desires and lifestyle changed? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. If your heart is still set on wickedness, if you act the same, still enjoy the same worldly pleasures, take the opinions of man over the authority of Scripture, don't have a desire to please God or pray and study the Bible, and aren't growing in grace, then you aren't born again. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Repent and obey Jesus, because the Bible says, "Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Everyone will spend an eternity either in heaven or the lake of fire, so seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Trust in Christ alone. Once again, that's Christian Resurgence on Gab. Great person to follow as well. They have a bunch of great insight to the Bible as well. This Alabama cop was actually shot and killed along with his, what they believe is his wife or girlfriend in Atlanta. And this occurred about a week ago, but honestly, it took a while for me to even find this story because nobody seemed to really be reporting on it at all. So this was a Selma police officer named Marquise Moror, or Moror, I believe, or something like that. But he said that it was, or showing that he was fatally shot while on duty as he returned home to get a bite to eat at the apartment complex where he lived. And the report here is that he came home to eat. He was there with his wife or girlfriend, and somebody on the outside came up and shot him and shot her, and they both died. They were both shot inside his apartment as well, and the woman with him, whose identity has not been released at all. They were taken to the hospital, or she was taken to the hospital, but her condition is unclear, and I later heard that she also passed away as well. Why is this an important story? I mean, police officers get shot. This is nothing specifically new. Well, the difference is that this police officer was actually a young black male, and what you're not seeing is anything from Black Lives Matter. What you're not seeing is anything from any Democrats that have claimed to care about black lives at all. Now, the obvious thing here that we have to look at is to ask, okay, why is that the case? Why would BLM not care about what happened to this police officer, for example? Well, it might be because he was killed by what they believe to be another black person. Even if there was a white person, I don't think that Democrats would really care. That's what's sad about all of this. Because he was a cop, he's not going to get the George Floyd treatment. He's not going to get a gold casket. He's not going to get people painting murals of him all over the walls everywhere that inevitably gets struck down by lightning. He's not going to get any of that. Because his death didn't qualify under the unwritten rules that BLM has, that the Democrat Party has. But I'm going to talk about it because when we look at officers, especially like David Dorn, that also died as a result of the riots that took place last year, these things need to be paid attention to. People need to understand and know who these people are because they're the ones that are dying and the left is ignoring it. And the reminder has to be there that the Democrat Party and BLM never cared about black lives. It's a virtue signaling point that they use to pretend as if they care, but they are not invested in any of this. It was something that was used last year. You know, the other thing too is that notice how just in general, it was like last year in the lead up to the election, it was like there was a shooting of some black person by some cop every single month. I mean, it was name after name. Say this name, say that name, say his name, say her name, over and over again. That was all that was happening last summer. Where is it at now? You mean to tell me that no white guy shot a black person at all this year? Here's the thing. I guarantee you it has happened, but because the media has decided what they're going to talk about, what they're not going to talk about, it goes ignored. If they don't report about it, you won't know about it. You won't hear about it. Because BLM doesn't care. The Democrats don't care. They were using those things as a way to prop them up, to get them out in the media like crazy, so that they could use it against Trump. That's what this was about. And now that this time has passed, you need to tell me that not one black guy has been shot by a white cop? Are you serious? Are you dead serious right now? Or is it because they're just not telling you the story? They're not reporting any of these things. I find that very hard to believe, that no black people were killed or shot at all by any white cops at all this entire year. I am pretty sure that's a statistical impossibility. But it seemed like last year, they couldn't help but to try and find as many situations as they possibly could to frame it under something racist when it never was. By the way, none of those cases were proven to be that way. But once again, where is this guy's gold casket going to be? The Democrats are going to remain silent on these issues. The BLM is going to remain silent on it because this was, once again, never about black lives. If it was, you'd hear them talking about this. You'd hear these people trying to care about the community, but they don't care about the community. And we have people running around like Cori Bush that her only goal is to basically make it worse, make things worse for the black community. It makes you wonder, what are these people trying to do? I mean, surely they can't in the same breath think that it's okay for them to have their own private security, but it's something that they believe also to defund the police. Oh, wait, Cori Bush, speaking of her, did exactly that. Here's the clip, 30 seconds, okay? And she literally just talks about she doesn't talk about the hypocrisy, but you can hear the hypocrisy right there. She mentions it all in the same breath.
The thing, I won't let them get that off. You can't get that off. I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets.
So like I said, all in the same breath. She literally says it. I can have my own private security detail, but I also want them to defund the police. It's the most ridiculous thing that I can possibly think of. And very rarely do you get them talking about something like this and kind of the hypocrisy of all of it in the same clip. But here we have it. Because these people are entirely tone deaf to common sense and what it is that they're actually talking about. So what we're looking at here is a person that's basically saying, you know what, it's fine for me to spend not just $200,000, but however much money I see fit to spend. Now, you might be wondering, where is she getting this money from? Oh, the government. And two, from her own constituents that are, you know, donating and, you know, helping give her money to run on the campaign trail. So these are her own voters, by the way, that are paying for her to be protected. Because if she wasn't doing this, she wouldn't be able to afford that kind of money in private security. Meanwhile, when you defund the police, who does it hurt? Who does it hurt? You have 150 people being shot pretty much every single weekend consistently in Chicago. Who's it hurting to get rid of police? If anything, police need more funding. I mean, the amount of police departments that don't have enough resources, can't pay officers enough, would blow your mind. I worked in that sector long enough to know it's not good pay for what you're doing. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible for what you have to deal with. And yet, these are the people advocating for the exact opposite of that. So they're hurting their own community by trying to advocate for defunding the police. Many of them have already, by the way. And you have her up here saying, yeah, I can spend $500,000 on private security. Doesn't matter to me. I need it more than you do. And that should be insulting. Too bad the people that vote for people like this are not watching. They're not paying attention to this. They don't care. They just keep checking the D-box, right? Just checking the Democrats. That's it. They're not even remotely concerned about what these people are pushing for and advocating for and what it would mean if these crazy policies actually went into place. That's really the big difference to me. But once again, the community's biggest threat are not the police officers. It never has been. I don't know where they are drawing that conclusion from. Nothing statistically shows that. Nothing. The community's biggest threat is itself. It always has been. It's other black people murdering or shooting other black people. If you want to solve the problem, you have to go to these people and tell them, you're the problem. You need to get your act together. Otherwise, it won't change anything. But once again, when you're in a professional victim class group that the Democrats try to create, you can't help yourself. You have to find someone else to pin the blame on. It can't be me. It must be someone else. That's pretty much the Democrat slogan at this point. And Ron DeSantis as well has been on fire lately during a press conference, making a lot of great statements, just varying from different topics about the virus and whatnot. But the first one that he kind of made was basically a generalized message to Biden. Here's a clip of this here.
Why don't you do your job? Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you. Thank you.
So the big takeaway here is that Biden can't care about COVID while the border is open. Okay, those two things that are taking place, they're mutually exclusive. Like, you can't have both of these going on at the exact same time. And that's the problem that I have. So what you're seeing here is that they're basically letting in all of these immigrants because the Democrat platform has always been built on open borders or very little in the way of stopping immigration or slowing it down or making sure these people actually become citizens at some point. So we have an open border. And as you can imagine, hey guys, where do you think this variant maybe came from? Where do you think, or how can you pretend to care about the virus when you're just willingly letting all of these people that very well could be COVID positive into the country? They were testing them for a little bit. I don't think they're testing anybody now. We haven't gotten any reports about it. And even if we did, they wouldn't report on it because they don't want you to know that they're literally sending COVID positive immigrants into Texas and California. Those are the states that are going to suffer the most because of this. And the thing is that if you try to do anything to actually prove or improve on this situation, they don't want to talk about it. They don't care. I don't think they care at all. No one's testing the immigrants. And the thing is that he also chimed in on school lockdowns and mask mandates.
If you're trying to deny kids a proper in-person education, I'm going to stand in your way and I'm going to stand up for the kids in Florida. If you're trying to restrict people, impose mandates, if you're trying to ruin their jobs and their livelihoods and their small business, if you are trying to lock people down, I am standing in your way and I'm standing for the people of Florida.
And of course, he's absolutely correct here. The thing is that we need governors to stand in the way. We do. We need strong politicians that actually have a backbone and are willing to say, you know what? Enough is enough. You're done. This is where we draw the line. You had us fooled last year. You know, fool me once. Shame on, you know, you. But fool me twice. Shame on me. Because ultimately, you can't continue to get away with this. And make no mistake, the blue states are already ready to lock down, to implement mask mandates, to do all of the stuff, by the way, that didn't work last year. Lockdowns didn't work. We said they wouldn't work because all you're doing is delaying it. It does not do anything. So to lock down again is a waste of time. They looked at the masks data. There still isn't enough evidence to show that it specifically is enough to stop it entirely. At this point, if you're going to get the virus, you're going to get the virus. It's almost impossible not to get the virus. It's not if you get the virus, it's when you get the virus at some point. This is going to be like the flu. It's not any different than that. So to add in all of these extra things and try to close schools and try to force masks for younger children and things that aren't even having to deal with these issues as much, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Also, you know, he went and ripped into vaccine passports.
...choice to be able to do it. Biden, he rejects science because he denies the fact that people that recover from COVID have long-lasting immunity. And that's been proven time and time again, and the data is very clear. So his vision is, just like in New York City, restaurants should ban young kids from being able to go in because they're not eligible for vaccination. And law-abiding citizens have to produce proof of their medical records just to go to the gym or attend an event or just to participate in everyday society. He wants that, but yet if you want to vote, he thinks it's too much of a burden to show a picture ID when you're voting. So no voter ID, but have to show your medical papers just to be able to live an everyday life. Give me a break. And so I think the question is we can either have a free society or we can have a biomedical security state. And I can tell you, Florida, we're a free state. People are going to be free to choose to make their own decisions about themselves, about their families, about their kids.
So first of all, vaccine passports are absolutely useless. When he was talking about the point about the voter ID being too much trouble, you know, he put it nicely. The Democrats are literally saying that having to require a voter ID to vote is racist. That's what they're telling you. They're telling you that black people are too stupid to get an ID or any form of identification to bring it into vote. That's what he's talking about. He put it nicely, but that's what they're saying. Okay? So how in the world is that racist? How is that something that's too above these rural black Americans? But a vaccine passport isn't. By that same logic, vaccine passports are racist. Right? So maybe we should start throwing that in their face, right? Just say, hey, guys, vaccine passports are racist, you know? I mean, because it's using their exact same logic to basically try and push these things. You just can't make this stuff up, how the hypocrisy just continues to swell in here. But once again, it's all about the fact that they need to make sense out of this, that we need to make sense out of what's going on in our states, and we need to remain a free and open state. And not kowtow to the CDC trying to legislate. Because if they were able to tell certain areas, hey, look, you cannot evict that person, then how far away are they from basically saying, hey, look, guys, we're going to start this new war over here. We're gonna legislate that and legislate this because we're the CDC, right? You know, what's going to stop them at that point? So at some point, we have to draw a line. And Ron DeSantis is, like I said, drawing a hard line. All right, so last but not least, this episode's TikTok liberal is a girl that is talking about her gender fluidity.
Here are some examples of my gender fluidity being a little bitch. Number one, feeling like a guy and visiting my relatives. I don't know if you know this, but I am not out to my family. Therefore, when I'm feeling like a guy but I have to present super feminine in front of my relatives, it makes me feel icky inside. Also, gender dysphoria is a bit. Number two, when suddenly my gender decides to change. Right before bed, I'll just be vibing, and then it'll be like, binder time. No, Michael, it's not binder time, it's bedtime. Binder time. Number three, in the frickin' middle of the day, I'll be walking all happily along, and then suddenly, boom, gender change. No, 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 now is not the time, Michael. I have a day to run. I don't need this dysphoria right now. Most of the time, I won't have the resources or capabilities to reduce the gender dysphoria because I didn't bring along with me a hat or a binder or makeup if it's the other way around. So it's a bitch. It's a real bitch.
So in case you're wondering exactly what is she talking about, what is this gender fluid thing? What is she getting at? What they basically believe in this situation is that your gender can change and fluctuate throughout the day. Maybe it's a different one every day. Maybe it could be every 30 minutes. It doesn't really have any rhyme or rule around it at all, but that's basically what they are saying here when they're talking about changing their gender around and whatnot. But to be honest with you, when I was watching this video for the first time, my first thought kind of went to the idea that this lady must be a schizophrenic, because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like she's having these battles internally with herself, and it sounds like maybe she's just schizophrenic, I don't know, or bipolar or something. It doesn't sound like somebody that's dealing with all of these gender issues. Now, many people aren't kind of caught up on the lingo of the new woke genders and different ways in which they achieve these things. So a few people were asking before about what she means by binder time. What is she talking about when she says binder time, okay? What she's talking about is a binder or a set of usually some type of wraps that you can buy online that go around presumably a woman's chest to make her chest resemble that of a guy. So a flat chest, basically. This is a problem, okay? Not only for the idea behind it, but it's a problem for health reasons as well. And if you haven't read the book, if you can stomach it, I highly recommend that you read the book Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier. Extremely, extremely good book. Going into all the details about how transgender girls try to do this using the binders and all the medical evidence that has been shown that how that can actually irreversibly damage you, right? And damage your body in that way. But that's what she's talking about. It is this idea of I'm out and about as a girl and then all of a sudden I feel like I need to put on these things, to put on the binder, to put on this hat, to put on things that make me look more like a guy. And then sometimes I feel like I need to get rid of these things. Or maybe when I go to bed, I feel like to sleep, I must be in this guy character. I must be in this different form. So I'm going to put on these superficial things to feel that way. And if I feel like a woman, I'm going to then put on makeup to then feel more like a woman. But notice the problem. I just showed a TikTok on the last episode talking about this guy saying there's more than one gender or more than two genders. So how does this work? I mean, she's not bouncing between she, him, and shim, something in the middle, right? She's going between male and female. She's basically confirming that there's only two genders in this in and of herself. Which once again just shows how mixed up this entire field is. the fact that people even still go along with this just blows my mind. Because a lot of people, maybe they can make sense out of gay or lesbian or whatever. And they'll probably think, okay, the transgender thing's too far. But all of these people flow into the same thing. It's all a part of the same kind of LGBTQ plus AARP. Like, it just goes on. They're all a part of this thing. And they all are attributed in there. And the gender fluid people are in this as well. They will be entirely respected amongst this alphabet community. Because they feel like it's a part of this. But what this is really about to me is multiple fold, but it's about these people trying to be a victim. It's about them doing everything they can to be different and having struggles. They're looking for struggles. Tell me what you think. By the sound of her voice, by the look on her face, did it look like she was struggling? Or did it look like she couldn't be more excited to tell you about her problems? Because to me, it looked like she was very excited to talk about her problems. We live in a culture where people legitimately want to be victimized. They want to be different. They want to have struggles. So they make them up. Even if something is stupid as I'm a male 1 hour and then the next few minutes I'm a female. That's what this is kind of divulged into. They attribute femininity with makeup. It just is really, really kind of stereotypically stupid as well. But the thing is that really what this kind of makes me think of is just the idea of a bunch of mental health issues that have been significantly on the rise over the past 10, 15 years or so amongst young adults. Now, maybe this is an issue with parenting. Maybe it's an issue with the school system, or I think it's multifaceted. But what you're seeing more than ever before is that more young adults are identifying as having some kind of mental issues. And what do the parents typically do? They stuff them full of drugs and say, go about your merry way. And that's where you end up with this problem, where a lot of these teens, these young adults, are just out there. They want to be a part of it. They want to have these mental issues because then they can talk about their victim status with their friends. They can make TikToks about it. I mean, also, that has to be a concern too, is that are these people just doing it for attention, right? Something that maybe they didn't get from their parents, so they have to do this and go on TikTok and amass followers based off of not your brain, not off of your knowledge, not off of how funny you are, but off of your victim status. That's what all these TikToks have generally been. Look at how much of a victim I am while I go on about this for 10, 15 minutes. So that's basically what you're seeing here. But ultimately, once again, it's a sad day when mental issues are being hyped up in our society to the point that people want to be involved in it, that people want to be a victim. They want to have problems. They want to be identifying in weird ways. They want it to be the case. Make no mistake, they don't want to be normal because normal means they're not very popular. And that scares the living daylights out of anybody that's young in today's day and age, is not being popular, not having a bunch of people that look to them and are so excited about them being around them and being friends with them. That's the difference that we have in our society today, and it absolutely must change. Unfortunately, I think it's so far gone that it would take an extremely long period of time for anything to really culminate out of that. So it may wind up being years till we see a recovery of the situation. But for a recovery to happen, people must realize the problems that are going on right now on TikTok with these people and these young adults who seriously need Jesus and a lot of better parenting involved as well. So with that being said, that is all I have for you on this episode. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. Remember to give a big shout out to ajerky.com. Go check them out. Really great product. It tastes absolutely delicious. But with that being said, I am William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show.